God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his finger or wink his eyes. He spoke. He said, "Let there be light." And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to A Disciple's View. The guy who did the murders in Maine is dead, and I want his medical records. They're ours. No, they should be ours. I want to know what sort of medications he was on, in addition to the hearing aids. Maybe none. We mentioned this last week, that so much curiosity about this case and about cases like this that the Mockingbird media loves, because it gives them an opportunity to scare people. Because it's so random, it could happen to anybody, and it's so random, it happens to almost nobody, which doesn't take the pain away from the families. This man, of family members, murdered by this man. So I want to know, how and in what ways was his mind affected? Maybe not. But you'll notice that that isn't even a question anyone is asking. It should be a policy. If we want to understand events like this, let's understand people like this. And that gets down to the fact that 90 million Americans are on psychotropic medications. And for some people, it's very helpful. But it's a funny thing. Pharma does not provide you a step-down kit. For many of these antidepressants, anti-anxiety meds are addictive, sometimes more addictive than fentanyl. Oh, you don't believe me? Check out some of the support groups of people who are trying to leave these meds. We know because of a painful decision I largely made for our daughter. And I will regret that to the day I die. And I'll thank my wife for doing the hard work of doing what pharma won't do, which is helping her step off. And please, please, please don't ever take that as a judgment of you. If these have worked for you and helped you, I'm simply glad. Mike Johnson, the new speaker, I have hope. I don't place my hope in men and women in Washington, D.C. I don't place my hope in that city. I don't place my hope in a pile of papers or a series of laws or statutes. I don't place my hope in a congressional hearing or congressional hearings or non-omnibus bills. I want to see those things. I want us to get back to budget making. Constitution says that Congress shall create a budget. They haven't for 27 years. It would be nice if they did their job, but then doing their job would be difficult for them to do their grift, which is selling things to highest bidders. That's the business model. So yes, I'd like to see single topic spending bills. I'd like to see single topic bills, but I'm absolutely filled with hope. I didn't know much about Mike Johnson. Maybe I should have. We're going to talk a bit about him during the show today, because he's being, of course, picked apart. It's going to be fascinating to see to what degree Republicans will stand with him. He was unanimously elected speaker, but he's talking about traditional Christian Judeo values. In his first international speech, he talked about these values. And how a return to them is really our only pathway back. So, of course, he's going to be attacked. I have hope because he has no problem speaking God's name. He has no problem speaking about God's design for marriage and God's design for how we treat one another. It's laughable, it's predictable, and we'll get to some of this during the show, that of course he's being called a racist and a savage racist, and someone called him David Duke Light. That same someone, he's a college professor. He had a fascinating request of us in relation to people like him who push for us all to be locked down. Well, not all of us. Of course, abortion clinics would remain open, and alcohol stores, and in the separate countries in the West Coast, pot shops would stay open, and needle exchanges so people could go out and get their clean needles to inject their heroin, and heroin dispensing clinics in Vancouver and Toronto, they stayed open so the government could continue to hand out heroin, because that stuff is essential. But that college professor who called Speaker Johnson, David Duke Light, he wants us to forgive. Oh, we'll get to the record on how laughable it is to call Speaker Johnson David Duke Light, given what Speaker Johnson said about the George Floyd case. There's this simpleton idea, this you are with us or against us in D.C. That only works one way, in my judgment. You are either with the Lord Jesus or you're not. Life is rarely that simple. In that case, the Lord makes it very, very clear. It is predictable that as Johnson communicates his adherence to God's plan, not just in areas of sexuality, of course, in areas of governance. He's talking to a Citizens Alliance for Responsible Government, a speech at which he appeared virtually. It was going on in England. He addressed classic liberalism. What is that? Classic liberalism is small government. It is focused government. It is empowering individuals to make decisions. That's confused now by people on the left who see that Johnson believes abortion is murder, believes that marriage should be between one man and one woman under the auspices of a godly marriage, who believes in moral teachings from the Bible and that they should inform his decisions in office, that they should inform our lawmaking. People on the left have turned this into a theocracy. He wants it to be illegal for people to have same-sex relationships. I've never seen him say that. Later this week, we're going to explore Christian nationalism. Oh, that panics people. And the way it's described is not something I want. I don't want a theocracy. Someone asked me once why in a debate. Someone said, well, if you believe in your God so much, and if you believe your God is so special, why would you not want a theocracy? And I said, because God, and he's your God too, didn't model that. I don't see any point at which Jesus lobbied government. I always find that fascinating when people want to turn the Lord Jesus into Republican or Democrat. I always want to say, show me the Bible verse where he got on a lawmaker's schedule. Because, you know, he could have. He could have said, hey, you're going to want to listen to me. I've got a voting block. I've got 5,000-10,000 people following me around. I could raise an army. Oh, I could convert the zealots. Sure, I'll just tell them I'm going to give them what they want. He could have done that. He could have used leverage. He could have gone in and cut deals with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He didn't. He only had one concern, and that was souls. So people look at a Mike Johnson and they say, well, he has all these beliefs. He'll want to force them on us. No, the Lord doesn't do that. I'm not comparing Mike Johnson to the Lord. I'm saying that he appears to follow the Lord, and he appears to be serious about it. Now, that's change. There are people in D.C. who are somehow able to keep their soul. It's difficult to do. I know. I lived there. I worked there for almost 2 years. It's difficult because the town is seductive and because it is largely godless. Because the gods are embodied in tall pieces of paper and stacks of diktats and orders and demands, statutes and money. Gosh, there's a lot of money. Man, it's easy to make money in that town. All you need to do is be a doorkeeper, gatekeeper, a contact maker. Make a ton of dough. Just introducing friends to friends. Maybe you don't even have to register as a lobbyist. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens when the party, that is the Uniparty, as people call it, I just call it the party after Orwell, when they realize that Mike Johnson has now used his initial political capital, the blush, the honeymoon period, not to come out and talk politics, but to talk about God. Oh, he's talked about things. Yeah, he's all in on Israel. He appears to be all in on Ukraine. I don't like that. He wants those two bills separated, those two spending plans. And he said, look, American people should have a decision. They should have input. Do we want to fund both wars? Well, it's not both wars. We're really funding all sides of all these wars. Maybe not funding Russia exactly. But we're funding Iran. We're funding Hamas. We're funding Israel. Why are we funding everybody that we're fighting? Maybe the Christian, Mike Johnson, will ask that question. And this is a key one. And Mr. Speaker, if you hear this, and why wouldn't you? American Family Radio is, to my knowledge, the largest independent Christian radio network in the country. 184 FM stations because of how God has worked through the Wildman family to make that happen and because of you. So maybe you could get this question to Mike Johnson, the speaker. Maybe you could politely call 202-224-3121, politely ask for the speaker's office, and simply ask our Christian brother to ask Biden and the Department of State and the Pentagon, a very simple question. Why are we funding both sides of this war? Why should the American people fund Israel while we're still funding Iran and Hamas? How does that not make us arms dealers? It'd be fascinating to see what happens when Republicans alert themselves to the fact that Mike Johnson has expended his initial political capital on speaking God's name and God's word and God's desire for us. I say that because it frightens the devil out of people there. It does. You can have extremely serious, biblically observant, biblically strict, great candidates running for the first or second time in Congress, and you will have their political consultant say, look, I know that you're into the God thing. I know you go to church, and so do I, and I know that you're really into the Bible thing, and I've read it too. But let's keep it off the campaign trail. It's divisive. So why does this all give me hope? It gives me hope because I don't think God is going to lift any finger to really help our nation until we invoke his name and his word. I simply look at us as one big, huge Roman coin right now. DC's a great big Roman coin, and I just have this image of the Lord looking at that huge city-sized Roman coin and saying, hey, render unto Caesar. You guys have determined you don't need me. Mike Johnson's faith should inform every decision he makes. Only the sexual left would see that as dictatorial. Jesus was far from a dictator, and they should thank them. They should thank the Lord for that. For if he were a dictator, the answer would not just have already been had. We know how this ends. But they wouldn't even have a chance. Because God loves them as much as he loves us. He gives them time. Well, let me rephrase that. He gives us time. He gives us time to allow God to work through us to bring them to himself. So let's dig into what Jen Psaki from MSNBC says about Mike Johnson and the faith. Let's dig into what his faith means. And let's look at many of the ways that cultish behavior draws people away from God. My wife suggested I speak of this. She was right. Next segment is dedicated to my wife. This is The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll be right back. Hey, thank you. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman, speaking to you from the high mountains of free America. It's what I call it on my podcast. Up here in a town of 600 people. Had an incredible day yesterday, and we'll get back to the news, I promise. I wanted to communicate something that happened yesterday that it also gives me great hope for the future. I maintain friendships with some pretty young people. Most of them are in their 30s. And yeah, I find youth around them, for sure. I also get pushed really hard in my training. And people have golf, they have hunting, they have travel, they have collecting things, they've got motorcycles, they have all sorts of hobbies, going to football games, etc. You can roll all that up for me into one thing, and that's the sport of CrossFit. That is the thing I most enjoy, because it's many, many things. So I met these people through that pursuit. Yesterday, for over an hour, we did just a ridiculously mentally painful workout. Ridiculously painful. It's called CHAT. It's named after a hero who couldn't stand being a hero. He took his life after he came back. His name was Chad Michael Wilkinson, the U.S. Navy. Took his own life October 29, 2018. And friends said the pain of combat, lack of adjustment. So about 10 of us, and again, I was the old dude. Everyone there in their 30s. We went down to Lake Coeur d'Alene. It's a massive lake in the Pacific Northwest, an utterly beautiful lake. And on the sidewalk on this beautiful day, we did box step-ups, they're called. So it's standing up about 24 inches and stepping down. One leg and then the other. We did this on concrete, on a concrete barrier, overlooking the sand and watching. Two of our friends had their kids there. They were down there playing. My coach was there. My dear friend is my sports medicine doc, who's become my dear friend, was there. I worked out with him. I had to keep up with him. So we did 1,000 of these. One step after another, both of us wearing 45 pounds on our back. We finished in about 52 minutes. For each round, these young people chose a hero. Someone who served this country, died in combat or soon after, in their 30s. These are people with whom I've prayed. In a very, very serious sense, sometimes with tears in our eyes, sometimes right there in the gym when we found out that one of our friends needed prayer, or we just determined that they needed it. I love that. I want you to know that there is hope. It's not from DC, although Mike Johnson deciding to spend his initial political capital speaking the word of God to the annoyance of people like the people on MSNBC, that certainly gives me hope. The servants of the Cultural Revolution destroying America, like Jen Psaki, have found their hateful, violent bigot in Speaker Johnson.
What passage in the Bible told Johnson to become one of the most important architects behind Trump's effort to overturn the 2020 election? Which passage? Was it God whispering in his ear to ignore the Constitution and disenfranchise millions of voters? It's hard not to think that Mike Johnson's idea of what America should be is drastically out of line with what America actually is. He clearly envisions a country that's less democratic and less tolerant. And that may explain why he seems more comfortable with the America of the 18th century than the America of today.
Truth has been replaced as the greatest virtue in society by tolerance. Well, we're the inherently intolerant ones who say, wait a minute, life is sacred because we're endowed by our creator. We're certain inalienable rights. We have to stand up for those. Oh, you bigot. Can't you be a little more open-minded? Come on. That's so like 18th century, you know. Well, they told us that if we didn't maintain those 18th century values, that the Republic would not stand. And so this is the condition we find ourselves in today.
Just holding on to those 18th century values there.
Yeah. Thank you, Jen Psaki. You know, one of the values, biblical values, can be translated as tolerance, long suffering, depending on your translation. Tolerance, but it does not translate into agreement. Charity, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, chastity, often described as tolerance. Actual tolerance, that is, to tolerate people who disagree with you and to not be forced to agree with them. And what biblical passage informed Mike Johnson's decision to say, hey, this election stunk? There were clear opportunities for rigging, clear opportunities for theft. It might be the part of the Bible where it said, if you see someone stealing something, make sure you don't say anything. Or maybe it's, if you suspect there's been a theft, shut up. Or if you firmly believe something to be true, make sure you don't say anything that could lose you the respect of men. Because that's what we seek in politics, is the respect of men. I don't think that Mike Johnson has ever expressed a desire to go back to a time where women didn't have the vote, where black people didn't have the vote. I think he expressed a desire to go back to a design of a country where our morality informed limited government, because we understood, the founders understood, that unlimited government will lead to unlimited lack of morality, because unlimited government becomes the government of a few, and then it is, in fact, their moral proclivities or lack thereof that rule a nation. Mike Johnson predicted sexual anarchy. Well, I guess he was wrong about that. We're certainly not seeing any sexual anarchy. No, we're just seeing five-year-olds asked questions like this. This is an actual construct of something they do in the schools. Let's play Doorway. And Doorway is this with five-year-olds. You have a secret spot on your body that's the doorknob that opens a gate to the greatest possible treasure. And you're the only one who knows what it is. But we're going to play a game where your classmates guess which part of your body opens that doorway. This comes after conversations with five-year-olds on how do you like to be touched? What feels good? See, the sex educators who do this, they explain that sexual education crosses all bounds. It's a spectrum. Sexual activity is a spectrum. You have sexual activity with your friends, it's just not naked. It's a lie. Of course it's a lie. The Bible describes many types of love. Eros does not cross over into friendship, not physically. So Speaker Johnson's faith may be the reason God put him in the speaker's chair. We need to pray God does the same for England, where a woman, twice arrested and once jailed for praying, has once again been ticketed for silent prayer. This is Isabel Von Spruce.
Are you here as part of an organized protest?
No.
You're not. Are you part of a pro-life organization or pro-choice organization?
I am, but I'm not here in that capacity.
Okay. Are you protesting?
No.
Are you here to pray for the lives of unborn children?
It's a little bit leading, but no, I'm not.
Okay. If you believe that you're present to protect in any form...
If I believe what, sorry?
If you believe that you are present to protest
I'm not here to protest, no.
Right. Well, you're in the PSPO... You're breaching it.
I'm in the zone.
Yes.
But I'm not protesting.
Yes. So you're going to be given a fixed penalty notice today. Okay. That'll be given to you with the offence and failure to comply with the public space protection order under the Antisocial Behaviour Crime and Policing Act 2014.
But it's Speaker Johnson who is instituting a theocracy. That woman, for context, was standing and silently praying. This is the second time. She was arrested the first time for praying out loud. So she went back and prayed silently in her head. She was taken into custody for that. Now she went back again and silently prayed. But it's Speaker Johnson and people like him who are installing a theocracy. I so hope that this could somehow get to Jen Psaki. I am called to pray for her. In the spiritual continuum, there are two players. One has won. It's over. We win. Those who stand with God. The other has lost, but he doesn't care. He maybe doesn't believe he's lost. Satan is a dictator. He'll force people to do things. God has very rarely ever done that. It's not his habit. Far from it. But you're talking about a thought crime. So I do have hope. Speaker Johnson would do well to use God's word continually on the floor of the House, and it will drive the left nuts. I actually think he should do an exercising of demons. We as Christians are given that power, delegated that power. Oh, he'd get sued. Separation of church and state and all. Maybe he could do it within his caucus. I'm not kidding. Maybe Speaker Johnson should get his leaders together and exorcise demons. Deliver people. Am I saying that they're all demonically oppressed? No. I know Washington, D.C., and it is largely godless, but it's not just Washington, D.C. The problem is international, as people are being taught to hate their neighbor. Rabbi, Jesus, what's the most important commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and the second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the others. Well, internationally, people are being taught to hate their neighbors. Scotland has been, well, for weird reasons, because it's an isolated island. It's been largely, and I don't want to offend you with a curse word, white. I apologize. It's been largely white until the forced mass migration. Now, forget the color of people's skins, but just think about the attitudes that have been forced upon Scotland. Because we need to redistribute attitudes. Oh, and by the way, religions. Scotland's first minister, Humza Yousaf, appears to really hate white people.
White. The Lord Justice Clerk, white. Every High Court judge, white. The Lord Advocate, white. The Solicitor General, white. The Chief Constable, white. Every Deputy Chief Constable, white. Every Assistant Chief Constable, white. The Head of the Law Society, white. The head of the Faculty of Advocates, white. Every prison governor, white. And not just justice. The chief medical officer, white. The chief nursing officer, white. The chief veterinary officer, white. The chief social work advisor, white. Almost every trade union in this country headed by people who are white. In the Scottish Government, every director general is white. Every chair of every public body is white.
What does that mean? Well, I understand the lack of melanin and bone structure and all, but what does that actually mean? Are we going to hear about what they do? Because Scotland is very, very close to banning the possession of the Bible because it contains hate speech. They've joined with the World Economic Forum to tell people, hey, you need to destroy your livestock, not sell it, not harvest it, destroy it, because we need this land for migrants. They're doing exactly what the party wants them to do. So why would Humza Yousaf care that white people are doing the bidding with which he agrees? Because it appears to me that Humza Yousaf wants to divide, to distort and distract. Mike Johnson has a lot of challenges. Amongst them is this international picture. It's funny when God just starts to show things and people want to participate. I don't know Chris Cuomo. I've only met him once. But I think Chris Cuomo, formerly of ABC, formerly of CNN, I think he's having a tiny, tiny crack of an awakening or maybe some conscience. Remember, this is a guy who pretended to be coming out of his apartment for the first time, his luxury condo in New York. He'd had the COVID flu and he was pretending to come out for the first time, but he'd already been out. He was caught walking around COVID positive. But that didn't stop him from doing an act with the CNN cameras that are saying, I'm coming out of my apartment for the first time. Maybe he's actually beginning to have a tiny, tiny little bit of a desire to speak truth. Wouldn't that be like God to just put into Chris's heart, hey, speak some truth and see how it feels? It's good to see Chris Cuomo admit to being censored at ABC.
I think about America's interests when I support. You know, back on 9/11, they wouldn't let us at ABC News wear a flag pin. I always thought that was wrong. I'm an American. I'm worried about the American hostages. I'm worried about our interests. And that's one aspect of why I care.
He wasn't allowed at ABC to say we. In addition to not being allowed to wear the flag pin, Chris Cuomo, when referring to Americans, was not allowed to say we. Not after the French, as in we the people. Man, what if God has touched Chris Cuomo's heart and is saying, Chris, let's see how truth feels. Speak it openly. I do suggest that you politely call the Speaker's office, 202-224-3121, and ask Mike Johnson to ask the Pentagon, speak truth. Why are we funding Hamas and Israel? Oh, I mentioned cults and cult-like happenings. We'll get to that. Plus, the Tower of Babbling. This is The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. This is a headline, Georgetown University 1940, and then what's going on at Georgetown University in 2023. And it's just a way of touching on a topic we're going to talk about in a pretty serious sense on a go-forward basis. Gosh, I just did corporate speak. You think that stuff's been, I've removed corporate speak from me and that creeped back in on a go-forward basis. Take an action item. Welcome to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman, by the way. Dr. Eli David is a researcher, lecturer, entrepreneur, investor, and look at that, 100 most influential Twitter accounts. Good job, doctor. In 1940, there was an article about Georgetown University. Can't tell from the font. Oh, it's New York Times, special to the New York Times. Hitler leads in poll. Georgetown students vote on leading personalities. Washington, February 24. Adolf Hitler is voted the most outstanding personality in the world today by students at the College of Arts and Sciences at Georgetown University in a campus poll undertaken by the Hoya, undergraduate weekly publication. Of 269 votes polled on this question, Hitler received 113. The Pope took second place with 64. President Roosevelt third with 35. Well, those are just kids, being rebellious. No, because in 2023, Georgetown University students support Hamas. Hitler went to go kill the Jews and the gypsies and same-sex attracted people. And Hamas kills same-sex attracted people and girls at concerts and Jews. There's a consistent spirit, I think, that operates in that realm. And there is a constant now opportunity for kids to join cult-like movements that do not have an obvious charismatic leader, but they have one. Who else would be the leader of human genocide? Well, that's an identity. People who join cults lack identity and meaning, and they seek that in conformity. So there's the identity of sex. I am my sexual desire. There's the identity of fake gender. I am this fake thing. There's the identity of race. Above all, I am a BIPOC. There's the identity of I fight for justice for the people of Gaza. Have you ever met them? No, but I know that they need those Jews killed. There's so many opportunities for kids to join cults. And sometimes it's not kids. I didn't even realize that we're going to hear from this guy twice today. He's a professor, and frankly, he should know far better. We saw the most enormous cult movement in history when the CDC and the FDA, in other words, pharmaceutical companies, decided to use the COVID flu, which they probably created along with Tony Fauci and the Chinese Communist Party, to lock down things that propel life and bring health to people, and to keep open those which harm life and harm people. We saw the biggest opportunity for people to have meaning and identity and conformity. Stay the blank home. Put on your mask. What are you doing? You're killing people. Get vaxxed or stay home. It was a frightening movement. And the medically useless, deadly, politically motivated lockdowns of churches and schools and gyms and support groups was the perfect cult-like movement for people like Professor Scott Galloway of NYU's Stern School of Business. Here he is on Bill Maher's program.
Well, I was on the board of my kid's school during COVID. I wanted a harsher lockdown policy, and in retrospect, I was wrong. The damage to kids of keeping them out of school longer was greater than the risks. But here's the bottom line. Myself, our great people, the CDC, I'd like to thank the governor. We were all operating with imperfect information, and we were doing our best. Let's learn from it. Let's learn from it. Let's learn from it. Let's hold each other accountable. But let's bring a little bit of grace and forgiveness in the show that was COVID.
So remember, that's Professor Scott Galloway. We're going to hear from him in the Tower of Babbling. I didn't even realize it's the same guy until this morning. To the professor, I would say, thank you for admitting you were wrong. It's a very, very difficult thing to do. A lot of people don't have the humility for that, and I'm deeply thankful that you will admit that. That's hard. And to do that on a show with as much audience as Bill Maher's, that's hard. And to do that in front of Maher, who was right about the lockdowns from day one, must be very difficult. Bill Maher was right about the lockdowns from day one. How? How? I have an operating theory that when people are completely divorced from the fruit of the Spirit, that is the vine of Christ, that they're easy to con. Now, I'm not here to tell you that Bill Maher's a godly man. I've never met Maher, but I know people who know Bill Maher, and I don't want to bear false witness. And so I'll only say, I don't think he knows the Lord. I pray he learns to know the Lord. I hope that God calls Bill Maher to himself. Maybe his truth-seeking will finally get him there. I pray it happens. How did Bill Maher know that none of this stuff made any sense? And how did this professor not? Well, I would say it's this. In the case of this professor, he just said the fine people at the CDC. That's a pharmaceutical company. The fine people at the FDA, that's also a pharmaceutical company. He's a professor of business, and he doesn't understand the incentives? It would only be because he chooses to not understand. He chooses to trust something, like someone seeking meaning, like someone seeking conformity, that a former CNN Plus host and college professor needs that tells us how broken we really are. On this program, we recognize the fact that God, just like he did in the Tower of Babel, or very similarly to it, oh, you're not going to obey what I said to scatter throughout the land to these various places? You're going to build then a monument to your own wisdom? Okay, try that without language. So we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three bits of audio, usually audio. Three stories that just exhibit these people standing on tall towers of sand. Here is the aforementioned Professor Galloway.
Democracy, the pillars of that are, one, the peaceful transfer of power. Yeah. And this guy was an architect of trying to arrest that and a society that is secular. And when a guy gets this nod and says that God ordained it, I'm like, well, boss, whose God is that? Because this is the whole point here, is that we separate church and state, that we believe in the peaceful transfer of power. And the reason this guy is speaker is none of us had the time to read his resume and realize he's David Duke Light.
Well, we did now.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So the professor who said, oh, I got it all wrong on the lockdowns, please, please forgive me. This is Speaker Johnson from May 29, 2020 on Twitter. George Floyd appears to have been the victim of a murder. A close review of the video can lead one to no other conclusion. And the tragedy has focused a spotlight once again on the plight of millions of black men in America. It is real, heartbreaking, and it must be addressed. The crisis resuscitates real reconciliation and transformation solutions for systemic change. They are long, long overdue. We are all God's children. And we are all Americans. Here's a simple truth. Racism violates the most fundamental principle of our great nation and the rule of our Creator, period. That doesn't sound like David Duke Light or David Duke at all. So fascinating that Professor Galloway wants a mulligan. I got it wrong on the lockdowns. I relied on the great people at the CDC and the FDA. Professor Galloway, who did you rely upon to learn that the Speaker of the House is David Duke Light when you are clearly, utterly, completely wrong and mistaken? In fact, you've slandered him. How'd that happen? Maybe it's human wisdom. Oh, I know. I know. My God. Which God? Have you ever taken time to figure it out? I'd be glad to help you. That'd be an honor. Second story in the Tower of Babbling today. It's also about racism, and it features Jane Fonda.
You can take anything, sexism, racism, misogyny, homophobia, whatever, the war, and if you really get into it and study it and learn about it and the history of it and the everything's connected. There'd be no climate crisis if it wasn't for racism.
There would be no climate crisis if there wasn't racism. Well, there isn't a climate crisis, and yet there is racism. Well, and there's brokenism, and there's sinism, and that's really what this is about, the sinism. So Jane Fonda can say that, and somehow it makes sense to her, and I don't mean to belittle Jane Fonda or just pick on her. I just have this saying. It goes like this. If everything is racist, nothing is racist. Now think about this. Would you tell your little kid, don't touch the dog is hot? Don't touch the basketball is hot. Don't touch the lawn is hot. No, because if you did that, guess what? When you said to your kid, don't touch that fire, it's hot, the kid would go, hot means nothing. Well, in a society where, as Mike Johnson said, truth is being replaced as the most important value with fake tolerance, they're doing that with all sorts of things. Last story in today's Tower Babbling features the beautiful, talented, educated, conservative women of The View.
You know, it's all about you all who keep electing gun rights apologists, gun owner apologists. Because this Mike Johnson said yesterday, this new Speaker of the House, that it's that we need to change hearts, not laws. Do the people in Canada have better hearts? Do the people in Finland have better hearts?
Again, let us review. The existence of an inanimate object does not cause murders. It doesn't contribute to murders. There were rocks before there were Cain and Abel. And not at any point did a rock jump up and go smash a person in the skull. Now, granted, there weren't many people then. It took a broken sin problem. At no time were the domestic abuse complaints in the Garden of Eden, of which we're aware, and if it were important, God would have told us. Well, there was no sin then. The very same people who will talk about, we must have compassion, we must be the tolerant ones, will then turn around and say, but it's not hearts that matter, it's the access to inanimate objects. One of my finest memories is before my dad made the ridiculous decision to be unfaithful to my mother, and I believe that's washed in the cross. My dad accepted the Lord Jesus. In his death process, not necessarily just before he died, but in that process, thank God the Lord brought my dad to himself. By the way, not just through me, but really through a pot-smoking North Idaho hill hippie pastor who loves Jesus. And his big sin, if it's that, is smoking pot. I'm not even sure that's a sin. I thank that pastor for that. I had this memory of my dad and guns. It's funny, those guns never shot anybody. But I would say to my dad when he still lived with us, and they remained very close. My parents were a great divorced couple. I would ask my dad, may I go look at your guns with you? Or I think I said his little kid, can I look at your guns? And we would go into the bedroom and dad would get the guns out and he would lay them out on the bed and he would talk about the purpose of each gun. And the speech always began the same way. Son, these are tools. They can be very, very helpful tools for hunting and for defending our family. They are also extremely dangerous tools. And we go through the rules. Every gun is loaded until such a time as you confirm it's not. And at your age, you will only confirm that with an adult. You will never point a gun at something you do not intend to kill. And if that's a person, that will only be in self-defense as an adult. And you will never so much as go near my guns without me with you. I will look at with them with you anytime. But if you ever do it without me, you will never, ever handle one of my guns again. It was about as firm as my father had ever been with me. In my safe, I have those guns. And I have a memory of my father teaching me one of the things about being a man, knowing how to use tools, even guns. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He values words. That's why we speak them here. Until God allows us to speak again. This is Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. May God be with you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.